proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. What you are about to hear is part two of a message that we started yesterday from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the latter part, that is really dealing with the problem of tongue speaking in Corinth, the abuse of tongue speaking, and Paul giving the single great corrective that we all really should be pursuing the gift of love. Love for one another. That's what we're considering on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today on Abounding Grace Radio. So grateful you have taken time out of your day to tune in. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Visit us on Facebook, download the apps. So many ways for you to connect with Abounding Grace Radio. And we are so thankful, dear listener, for your encouragement to us. Here is the message now from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, part 2 of The More Excellent Way. Paul says something that's so important to his main point. He says, love never ends. We're going to come back to that. Agape love, and we distinguished what that is last time, sacrificial love, the love that's shown to us in the cross, the love that's shown to us by Christ, never falls down. That's what the verb means. Never. It has a permanent quality. Now, before we unpack that and look at that and conclude with that tonight, Paul basically says, you're stuck in what is temporary. There are things that fall over. There are things that end. There are priorities in the ministry. Oh, that's such a big principle for the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle of priority. He understood priorities. He knew what to fight about. He knew what not to fight about. He knew what to make a conscience issue. He knew what not to make a conscience issue over. Balanced. Beautiful. But priority is what he's going after here. Priority in the ministry. And so he says in verse 8, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. I used to be so puzzled over those verses. And I always would sit and read them. I don't understand that. And you really see the value of going through a book. It really has opened up to us now, isn't it? It only makes sense when you understand Paul's answer to the question about tongues. Why do I say that? I want you to look very carefully at those verses again with me. He mentions three gifts here: prophecies, knowledge, and tongues. Tongues is what he's going after right now. Notice what he does. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for knowledge, it will, same verb, pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. Totally different verb. He chose the same verb for prophecies and knowledge, but a different verb for tongues. It's really fascinating here. Knowledge will pass away. Prophecies will pass away. What that means is that at some point they will simply be done away with. Something will bring them to an end. Now you understand this. When I was in school years ago as a child, I used to beg my parents to get me a little Walkman. Anybody know what Walkmen are anymore? Walkman with a little tape. And I thought that was just great when I got that. You know, For some of you, it was an 8-track. I don't know what that was, but I remember hearing a lot about it. And for some of you, you're so old, it was a record. Well, my kids come to me today. Are they asking me for any of those? They're asking me for MP3 players. They're asking me for phones, which I said no. You see, something better has come. In all those circumstances, something better has come. And immediately it brought the others to an end, didn't it? Once you're selling CDs, you're no longer selling cassette tapes. Well, that's what is the emphasis here. Something is going to come that brings to an end knowledge and prophecies that is so much better. You don't need it anymore. But that's not what he said for tongues. For tongues, he says, they will stop. Like a battery. It just runs out. Once the juice is out, you throw it away. It's exactly the sense. Now, this is really important. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Notice he just linked that together. We know and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. What did he link together? Knowledge and prophecy. He didn't talk about tongues. We know in part and we prophesy in part. That will pass away when the perfect comes. Tongues at some point was just designed to stop. But these would pass away when the perfect comes. What's the perfect? Well, there have been a few ideas in the history of the church. I would love to tell you tonight it's the canon. Love to say it's the Word of God when it was completed and handed. But that just doesn't work. They wouldn't have had any concept of that in Corinth. I believe, and I think most commentators accept, that this has everything to do with what we understand by perfect. What do you understand by perfect? What are you looking for? You're looking for the perfect to come. You're looking for Christ to return in glory and make everything perfect. You're looking for the state of glorification. You're waiting for that. You're looking for that. At least that's what we're taught to look for, right? There's a time when the ministry stops, he's saying. There's a time when the ministry, actually the verb would be better here, the time when the ministry is done away with. Why? Because Christ has come. It will pass away. You don't need the ministry anymore. There's a night coming when no man would work, Jesus says. Now, the thought of that should evoke the question, what am I doing here in the church? What are we doing in the church? If we're all caught up in our energies in the wrong things, think of Corinth, you've forgotten the bigger goal and picture. You're focused on all the wrong stuff in the ministry. One of the most moving endings to a movie I ever saw was the end of Schindler's List. I don't know if that's exactly how it went or not, but Spielberg, at the end of that movie, I was in tears. And every time I watch it, I'm in tears. You know why? Hard movie to watch. But when Oskar Schindler rescued all the Jews, and he bought them, the end of the movie, he is weeping uncontrollably because he says, basically what he said at the end of it was, I could have bought more. My priorities were so wrong along the way. And all these Jews were standing there saying, no, we're here. But he says, I could have bought more. I was focused too much on this and things, and I didn't give it to this. And I've always thought that somewhat captures the bigger picture in the ministry I always have to keep in front of me. This is about the salvation of people. And if I forget that, what happens? It's tragic that a church can leave its love, isn't it? When there's no love, what do you get? You get Corinth. Remember? Factions, hero worship, valuing of all the things that the world values, obsession with knowledge and speaking abilities and divisions and fighting and separations and arguments over disputes over words, people pushing their agendas. This is what begins to dominate church life when there's no love. You ever seen that? It's no longer functioning as a church should function. It's forgotten its purpose. It's forgotten its mission. It's forgotten the reason it exists. And then it's no longer about salvation of people. The whole section, then, is moving us to set priorities right in the church. When you look at a church that's not operating well, when you look at a church that's a mess and not moving forward, you're going to see a church caught up in all the wrong priorities and the things that don't move you forward to the ultimate goal. What is Paul have in mind here? Tongues. You guys are caught up in the show. You guys are caught up in the ecstasy. You want entertainment and enthusiasm, but you don't understand. That gift was designed like a battery to stop. Its very thing, and this is what the general testimony is of the church, it died when the apostles died. That gift ceased. That gift stopped. That's the universal witness of the early church, by the way. Origen, the early church father, said to Celsius, the sign gifts were temporary and not exercised by the Christians of his day. Chrysostom states that tongues not only had ceased, but could not be accurately defined. Augustine, in the earliest times, the Holy Spirit fell on them that believed and they spoke with tongues. These were signs adapted to that time. That thing was done, for it passed away. And yet we've got a whole charismatic movement caught up in it today. It stopped. It ceased. The battery went out. It served its purpose. So you hear what Paul's saying, and you see the application now to us. You're caught up in things that were designed to pass away, and you think it's the be-all and the end-all of ministry. Look at the contemporary church. Look at the challenges that we face. We're so caught up in what's temporary, thinking that if we just have all these great sign gifts. Let me ask you a question. For all the emphasis that's been given in our day on healings and miracles, for all the people that are healed, are they still going to die? Yeah? So they're caught up in something temporary that is not answered and provided the ultimate solution. Their bodies are still going in the grave. Nobody has stopped that but Jesus alone. So that what Paul's doing here, and this is the challenge today, look at a ministry. Luther used to say a ministry is either focused on a theology of the cross or a theology of glory. The theology of glory is all about the temporary and the excitement in the moment now, the glory now. That's Corinth's problem. It's the theology of glory. It's the message that's not focused on a life of suffering then glory. It's the message of Osteen. It's the message of have your best life now. Live it up now. Those are the enthusiasts. The cross is a way of denial. The cross is a way of suffering. Paul's point is, are we pursuing what has eternal value? They were looking at the gifts and thinking it's all about the performer. And remember what Paul's been saying. Gifts that God gave are not for your glory. Your gifts are not for you. Your gifts are for the person next to you. Your gifts are for somebody else to be a blessing to and help. When it becomes about you, when it becomes about people, when it becomes about this temporary fix of a high, it's no longer done in love. That's Paul's point. It's lost love is the motivation. If it's a showcase of the speaker and knowledge and giving, it's no longer love. Paul says that behavior is childlike. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. In a sense, we're like children right now. We see it in what we value. You know, what is our temptation? Our temptation right now is to put our affection and love into things. While the Lord's told us, remember the goal, store up your treasures in heaven, store up your treasures there. We're thinking like children when all the value's put on temporary things. What do your children do? Well, mine come up to me sometimes and say, Dad, when I get old, all I'm going to do is eat candy. I said, no, you're not. Well, why wouldn't I? It tastes so good. Because you're not an adult, and I assure you, when you're an adult, you won't do that. Do we have to tell our children to share their toys? Constantly. They hold tight to their toys. Children teach us a lot. Teach us a lot about us, don't they? We're holding tight to toys. In the ministry, you can hold tight to toys. Hold tight to all the wrong things that are temporary. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. I behaved like a child. When I became a man, I gave those things up. What's Paul saying? Well, when you get into the kingdom in glory, these little things that you're holding on to, you're not taking, and they don't hold a candle to what's coming. We use certain gifts in the life of the church now for the benefit of others. We use the things of this life now for the benefit of others, but they will pass away. Some are designed to stop. Hope I'm making myself clear. Paul's saying, recognize that when we live like children, when we're holding on to what is temporary in the ministry, when we want all that glory now, when we in the church just want the cotton candy, for instance, when we in the church put all the value on the things that are temporary, we're not acting like grown-ups. We're not mature Christians. But when we're full of age and we've demonstrated some kind of maturity, we learn to say, I believe I brought nothing into this world and I know I'm not going to take anything out. It's hard to get there. I admit, hard for me to get there. But we're taught to live and value what God has told us is most important. The same is true with our spiritual life. The same is true with our spiritual life. Children value temporary things. Babies in the faith are caught up in following men, all these temporary things. Here's the point. The mature understand that the things that are temporary are used and subservient to the things that are lasting and the larger hope that God has set in front of us. What is lasting? What is lasting? I ask you the question, what is God's greatest gift to his church? I'm not talking about Christ. I'm talking about in his state of his exaltation, the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the greatest gift he's poured out on his church? Corinthians would have said tongues. You know what it is? Love. Love. And what was being sacrificed in Corinth was the one gift, the greatest gift that continues into eternity. And do you see how damaging that is to a church? Verse 13, you love this verse. I love this verse. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. In our earthly life, there are these three great gifts. that we have. Faith, hope, and love. Remember what Paul said? Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. What did he just do? He encompassed faith and hope under the umbrella of love. Love is the greatest of all the spiritual virtues. Why? Paul says it carries into eternity. It's everlasting. There will always be love as God has taught you love. I'm not talking about the sentimental stuff. I'm talking about the kind of love that you've known from Him. Agape love. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that encouraging? Love, remember, is not just driven sentimentally. Here's what's so important. When you love, you are giving the most ready place for what is to come. An eternity of doing that. This is so beautiful, I think. We often, you know, ask, well, how could I be ready for Christ's coming? How could I be ready for the coming of what is perfect? Let me give you a great one tonight. Do you live in a ready state? How do you keep your lamp burning? Pursue love. That's the first thing chapter 14 opens with, doesn't it? Pursue love. A Christian is never more ready for what is coming in the eternal state, never more ready for heaven than when he loves, because that's permanent. That has lasting value. It's not that the other gifts don't. It's that those are used but are designed to go out. Keep in mind the big picture. And that helps me to understand why the new covenant promise is so glorious, that the intention of the commandment was always love from a pure heart. In other words, remember what God said to Israel? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You never understood that until you saw it in the person and the work of Christ. And Jesus says, that kind of agape love that we've learned from Him, that's what abides. That's what remains forever. And He's taught you it. You've seen it. You know what it is. So that when we are given new hearts by the Spirit, we begin to taste right now the fulfillment of that new covenant promise of love. And that carries into eternity so that you will one day love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What a beautiful thing. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Love fulfills. Christ, the ultimate fulfiller, and now we tasting that and ultimately enjoying it in fulfillment forever. But now it's love that drives and propels the Christian life, and that's the gift that carries on into eternity. When all of our gifts in the life of the church and all of our service and all of our doing and all of our actions are controlled by that, everything else will flourish and be in its right place in the Escondido United Reformed Church. In Christ, being forgiven by His grace, love is the link. That's what He wants you to pursue. And all these other things will fall into place. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank You for teaching us to love. Thank You for explaining what love is. Forgive us that we've been selfish. Forgive us that we've been children at times, looking for things that are temporary and not keeping our eyes on the ultimate prize and the ultimate goal, that the perfect is coming. It seems so far away, Lord, but it could be here tomorrow. Thank You for redeeming us in love. May we pursue that love fervently here. Thank You for showing it to us in the person and the work of Christ so that we can live in joy and in peace and in love. Oh, give us hearts to eagerly pursue love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.